Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Hello and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. And welcome to our Season 3 Summit. In this episode, we're talking all about hiking trails.
If you're joining us for the first time, Summit episodes are how we cap off each of our seasons here at Gaze at the National Parks. It's sort of like a slides review presentation of everything you learned in class right before your test.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It sure is. I mean, yep. get ready for that crib sheet, girls.
It is the time where we get to talk about all of the parks from the one season together in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So
there will be a test and you'll need your number two pencils.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Remember those.
And also everything just in my body seized up as I said that.
Oh, I know. I know. No thanks.
Test taking. Uh-huh.
Remember they're like, eat a good breakfast before you go take your
Get
standardized test.
Make sure you bring a recreational reading book.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I
no
always
calculators
hated,
are allowed.
I didn't test that where I remember one standardized test, the reading comprehension section was 4 columns of small, enormous text. Mm-hmm. And it was 4 passages that looked like that. And they gave you 25 minutes to read all 4 of them and answer 10 questions each. That is 40 questions in 25 minutes.
No.
And read a very long path. No thanks.
Yes.
Goodbye, Mel.
Sorry, Pearsons. Y'all suck.
Yeah. No thanks. No thanks.
No thanks.
I'm not
Educational
here for
testing.
It.
You are bad.
not here for it.
That's right. You heard it here first. 2 educators against educational testing.
Well,
and we aren't the first ones.
Standardized testing.
Yeah. Oh,
definitely.
Standardized. That's
no
what
thanks.
I meant. Yeah.
I'm out.
Uh-huh.
I'm out.
Yeah, no thanks. Making your money, lobbying, doing things.
No.
Bad, bad, bad. Anyway, down the rabbit hole.
Anyway,
we go.
Let's take a minute to remember the parks we visited this season. They include Mesa Verde in Colorado, Great Sand Dunes, also in Colorado, Joshua Tree National Park in California, Petrified Forest in Arizona, Grand Canyon also in Arizona, Acadia in Maine, Catoctin Mountain in Maryland, and Gettysburg National Military Park in Pennsylvania.
Each of the Summit episodes examines the parks of the past season through its own particular lens. Our Summit on Visitorship examined crowdedness, accessibility, location to civilization, and a whole manner of things you might be curious about when you are visiting one of those parks.
Our Summit on Wildlife explores the delicate ecosystems of our parks and the lands that surround them through the lens of their flora and fauna. And our History Summit examines the past and present issues going on in the parks of this season.
In this episode, we're going to be talking all about our hiking trails that we experienced while in the parks of this season. Some things that we're going to discuss include our favorite hikes within the parks, signage as we were on the trails,
yes,
sites that you get to see on these trails, as well as your best payoff views. Also, some hikes that we didn't get a chance to do while we were in the parks, but would definitely want to get back for. So where should we begin?
Let's start with Mesa Verde.
Right.
Okay, so let's start with the Point Lookout Trail. This trail was, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was windy. It was windy. It was near the front of the park,
yep,
when you drive in from the visitor center. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy to get to. Pretty great view up top.
Oh, yeah. It was a great view. Definitely one to enjoy. There wasn't a lot of signage. I don't remember that being the
no
case. But it was pretty easy to, the trail was pretty easily marked, like to know that it was the trail. Like
right.
there was a little confusion at the top because things fall apart, but not too bad.
Yeah. Next mm-hmm. we have Petroglyph Trail. One of my favorite trails of all time.
This was a great one. This was, talk about like an adventure. This was a total adventure trail. You were sort of like under the edge of like this cliff. You were up on top of like a mesa. You were seeing petroglyph. Like it had it all. It was mm-hmm. real cool. The whole way was cool. You got great views. There was a lot of obstruction at the beginning, like as you were kind of looking into, I think it was Spruce Canyon. It was really, really wonderful.
Yes.
It's a trail that reminds me of one that we did when we were at New River Gorge, which we haven't talked about yet, but we will be in
next
season.
But we will
season.
Be, but yes, mm-hmm. it does. It reminds me of that. There are many, many other things to do in Mesa Verde, mm-hmm. including like a touring cliff palace, which isn't a hiking trail, but it is.
It's a tour.
It's a tour.
Mm-hmm. With a guide.
Right. And there are other places to tour as well, or other places to see. You may not be able to tour it as closely as Cliff Palace, but that includes Longhouse and Spruce Tree House.
Those are the other ticketed ruins that you can go to. However, depending on the time of the year, they are on a different mesa from where Cliff Palace is. So the road to those spaces is often closed depending on the weather and time of year that you're there. It's mostly like a late spring, I think usually typically May through probably October is usually windows of things like that when it comes to weather. Don't expect to necessarily be able to get to Longhouse or Spruce Tree House unless you're there during the warmer months of the year. And that's something we missed because we were there in like late March, early April. So we weren't getting out there.
So what was your favorite hike from Mesa Verde?
Probably Petroglyph Trail. It was great. I wish that we had, there was another trail that would have been
like into the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about that trail too. And
right. I think that was Spruce Canyon.
And going back, that would be the one I would want to do.
There was also another trail that launched from Point Lookout, the Point Lookout campground where we left. It wasn't Point Lookout campground, it was a campground that we left from. Remember the ranger was like, "Ooh, it's a good trail, but it's probably real snowy and
it's
muddy."
Snowy. I wanted to do that.
And that was
trail.
A longer trail. Knife's Edge is right there too. Those would be great trails to definitely head back and do.
Agreed.
But I do feel like we got I think Petroglyph Trail was the real payoff for us there.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean Cliff Palace and touring that was unbelievable and amazing. But as far as hikes go, Petroglyph Trail was a definite do that trail when you're there.
Let's talk about Great Sand Dunes.
Great. So Great Sand Dunes.
Which there are.
There are hikes.
There are hikes nearby that aren't on the sand dunes. But there is the dune field,
which is a giant
sand dune. Many, many sand dunes.
It's sort of the thing to do at Great Sand Dunes. There are definitely hikes. We'll talk about those in a minute. But the dune field itself is its own sort of, I don't really want to use the word spectacle, but it sort of is. It's this, it's hard to miss. You can't avoid it. And it's kind of, it's the reason that that park is basically preserved. So it's kind of the thing to do. You can hike all the way up to Star Dune, which I believe was the taller of the two dunes, High Dune and Star Dune. And we did, I think we got to High Dune, the top of High Dune. And then we kind of were like, no, they
That's
said Star Dune, I think was like a 4-hour round trip. It was something like that.
And
I believe that because...
Well, it's so funny when you look, when you're standing there looking at them, like it didn't feel to me like it would take 2 hours to get up to the top of that dune.
No.
And then once you started walking it, I was like, oh, I see why it would take 2 hours.
Right. And also we, I have a feeling it's probably pretty windy there always. But we also had our sleds, which was basically like a giant sail.
So much fun.
It was fun, but trying to walk with them.
But walking with them was tough. Like
the wind just resisted you.
I had to hold it in front of me in order to walk. Because holding it to the side would just
topple me aside. Yeah. The dunes are great. I mean, for doing the sledding, and you can get it like a board too. If you know how to snowboard, you could probably sandboard basically. We sand sledded, which was great. You can't rent those at the dunes, so that's something to kind of look into prior to getting there. There's also the creek that runs in front of the dune field that in the summer I think is like a happening spot to like hang out when it's warm. So there's that to do. So there's a lot to do within the dunes themselves. There are hikes that go up into the mountains, which seem like they would be like full day adventures, but I'm sure are great. They're like in like the pinyon forests and pinyon pine forests and things like that. So there's definitely things that I would like dog ear for a trip back, which would include the Music Pass and the upper and lower Sand Creek Lakes. Seem like they would be great. They're like sort of like alpiney hikes to do, where you can look down and see the dune field, like where you're awesome. Way above them.
Yeah,
there's also
get to do that.
There's also Zapata Falls, which would be cool to go back and do. Yeah. But that is a have a Jeep, folks. That's a rocky
that
road.
That was a rocky road.
Rocky.
We could not bring the rental car onto that road.
No.
Nope.
That was my despair.
I know.
But that
but
was
then
also
we
like
went to the hot
crazy
springs
thunderstorm.
And felt better. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did. Hot springs make everything better.
They do.
So yeah. So sand dunes, not so much of a hiking sort of adventure that we did there, but the dune field itself is very worth it. Explore it. And if you have the opportunity and you want to hike up into those like alpine forests, definitely do that. Something I would definitely like to do when we go back.
Let's talk about Joshua Tree National Park.
Joshua Tree.
Love Joshua Tree National Park. There are lots of hikes in Joshua Tree National Park.
Yeah.
Though hiking isn't probably the first reason why people go to Joshua Tree National Park.
Mm-mm. For some people, it's to destroy things.
Well, that's for some people. We're talking about in the government shutdown when a bunch of people just ran over trees. Joshua Trees was awful. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the hiking trails that we did do. Mm-hmm. We did an area called Jumbo Rocks.
Right, which is kind of more exploratory than it is like a
it wasn't really, there wasn't
proper
a paved trail, but it was like, here, like, go
explore
wherever you want in this one area. That was really fun. We also did 49 Palms Oasis.
Right.
Which is not in the park proper, but adjacent.
It's like, it is in the park itself, but it's sort of like...
But the entry part is outside of the park.
Outside of the... Well, it's like you don't drive in the main entrance. You like drive off a highway and dip in.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the only trail that's there, really. Like you go for that. Then we did Hidden Valley Ranch Trail. We did the Hidden Valley Trail. It was a nice loop, but it was also like that word that I always have, but now I'm forgetting that you're like, what's that word? It's a this type of trail.
An all levels kind of trail.
Sure, it's an all levels trail. That's not the word I'm looking for, but it'll come back to me. Which was great. And that you sort of get to see a lot of the different flora and fauna of the park itself. It's like an informational trail. That's not the right word.
No, the word you're looking for is interpretive trail.
There we go. Interpretive trail. It is an interpretive trail. Because there are some placards and things like that along the way that sort of like talk about different parts of the desert and the ecosystems that are there. But this was a really fun trail to like get to experience. It's also a great trail to kind of get like a lay of the land of what Joshua Tree is like.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. Like that's a good one to start with if you're interested in Joshua Tree and just getting an idea of what the park's like in general.
And if you want to see something unlike anything else, do stroll through the Chola Cactus Garden.
But
which
very
we
carefully.
Also did
very
carefully. Because if you trip and fall, that's a bad move. That's a bad thing for
that's
everyone involved.
Yes. That's also kind of more exploratory, like an not interpretive necessarily, but
it's not a hike, but it is a walkthrough.
It is.
And it's definitely worth doing.
Yes. When it comes to signage in Joshua Tree,
there wasn't really a need for much signage,
no.
I felt. I mean, the
Cairns,
signage in
there were some Cairns.
There were some Cairns, but the signage in Joshua Tree was more for things like interpretive trails or like, you know, educational purposes. My favorite one was 49 Palms.
Oh,
I
me
did
too.
Love 49
me
Palms.
Too.
That I would want to do that again the second we get back.
Oh, yeah.
As well as the other things we hadn't seen before. But
I feel like Joshua Tree is a park that I never feel FOMO when we leave a place, but I don't feel like we had, like, I wish we had more time there. That's a park where I really do feel like we sort of were in and out.
Yeah. And I mean, we were there for 2 days.
We were. Our flight kind of got thrown off. So we were supposed to be there earlier. We were supposed to have a little bit more time.
Yeah.
And that sort of like threw our adventuring off. But there are a ton of I mean, if you look at the trails that are in the park, there are a ton of trails. Like There's some longer ones too, like the California Riding and Hiking Trail. It takes like 2 to 3 days to do. This is like these are like the strenuous trails and like not to attempt when it's very warm sort of thing.
Right.
But there are some like 6 milers, like the Panorama Loop or the not named after me, but Ryan Mountain Trail, which is 3 miles. So there are a bunch of things that like we didn't get a chance to do. There's also the, I think it's the Noah Porphyry sculpture garden. There was the, they're all just cool things in and around Joshua Tree that I would love to experience a little bit more. So that's definitely a park that we need to return to. Plus we have a friend that's out there now. So
right. We have many friends.
We have two friends
there.
Out there. So definitely something that we can hopefully get a chance to get back to sometime soon.
Let's talk about Petrified Forest.
Right.
And Painted Desert.
And Painted Desert.
They're next door.
They are next door. We basically did it all.
We did it all.
We did it all.
We did everything that was available to us in Petrified Forest.
Yeah.
Which, for those who may not be familiar, the Petrified Forest is not like a forest of trees, of green trees that you walk through. It is a place to view the oldest and most dense collection of petrified wood, which is when wood over years and years and years and
millennia.
Literal millennia of time, like transforms into what looks and feels like rock.
Yeah.
It is magical, unbelievable science what happens to trees and wood.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are pieces of petrified wood all over. Obviously, they must stay.
Yes.
Never take them.
No.
The rangers have a right to look through your car. So, and they say that. They have a sign.
Yes, but I like that fast disclaimer there.
Well, don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't take things.
No.
My mom was like, oh, would you be able to get me a piece of petrified wood? I was like, no. She was like, I meant at the gift store. Obviously, you don't take things from. And it was like, okay, great. As long as we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not like walking through like tall trees.
No,
you're walking through what is
desert basically,
but you're seeing pieces of petrified wood on the ground around you.
It looks like a tree has fallen a lot of the times. Some of them are long logs, which is one of the trails actually. Some of them look like, you know, someone had cut a tree down and started to cut it into pieces and they left like, you know, 3 feet pieces of like bough of a tree.
Right. And what's fascinating is like they say in all of the educational signage there, like this dates back to Pangaea when all of the
continents were together
before they broke apart.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you're literally looking at a tree that is that old.
Yeah.
Like it is. And that to me was like, obviously we have things that are that old around us constantly.
Right.
You know,
like all of the land that we live on.
All of the land that we live on. But like I'm saying, like, and you'll look at mountains and you'll look at things, but trees are, we don't often think of trees as these things that have been around for that long.
Yeah.
Not that long.
Well, like, that tree specifically. Like I can't look at a tree in my backyard and be like, in 2000 years, that tree's going to be there.
No.
Because it's going to be like ash.
But when you look at photos from like some of the first photos of the petrified forest that they have there.
Yeah. Nothing's changed. Really.
You know, from like the very early part of the 20th century, it's like, you're looking at that picture and then you look up and it's like there, you can still see the same pieces of wood sitting there in the field.
Yep.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
so the hikes that we did within Petrified Forest include Blue Mesa, which
was,
I
loved that hike.
Great. Except for the uphill on the way back.
Yeah, true.
It was like a very severe dip into Blue Mesa and then a very severe uphill.
Right,
on the
way back.
Right.
But that was such a fun trip.
Yeah, we did Long Logs, which also led us to Agate House.
Don't miss any of these.
No, and really that's sort of, there was like Crystal Forest, but we sort of did that. And if we didn't, I think it wasn't something that we, Crystal Forest we may have missed, but it was like a short little jut off trail.
Right, right.
There's also some small hikes to like Pueblo ruins that are there that we also did, but they're like literally get out of the car and like you're there. Like it wasn't like a real proper hike. Blue Mesa, Long Logs, and Agate House were sort of like the proper-y hikey hikes.
That's right. What was your favorite of those three?
I think hiking out to Agate House was my favorite because it was just sort of like sweeping grassland. That's the other thing about this park. It changes. Like the landscape changes so much from when you start in Painted Desert and you come down. It just shifts. I think like three or four shifts. So when we were at like Long Logs Agate House, it was like you were just in grassland. There were some like big pieces of petrified wood here and there. It was cool. It was just sweeping openness. And Agate House was just really cool because it is an entire house built out of petrified wood.
Yes. Like that is the most that's still incredible standing. Thing to see.
So that I think was cool. It was also like a circumstance of the lighting was beautiful at that time of day. And like, yeah, that's my favorite.
I think my favorite was Blue Mesa only because I don't have words to...
Clearly.
I mean, we talked about it in the episode on Petrified Forest, but it's just a hike I'd never done before.
Yeah.
Like, it's something you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And so that was... Yeah. I think as far as uniqueness...
Yeah.
It definitely was
unique. Signage. Again, this was sort of a park where these hikes were not long and difficult to navigate. So, like, most of it, like... Blue Mesa was sort of paved, right?
It was like a paved thing around all of these different
dunes, like stone dunes.
Stone dunes, I guess that's what we'll
the
call them.
The best way I can... They just look like sand drip castle, basically, but were much more than sand. So yeah, and even like Long Logs was fairly direct and even Agate House. So not a lot of signage, not necessary, not really easy to get too lost there on those particular
trails. That's right.
So yeah.
Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for gays listeners. Let's talk about the Grand Canyon.
Well, let's talk about the Grand Canyon.
So we did not do Bright Angel Trail.
No.
We were only able to do the South Rim the day we went. Definitely more to see when we return. We want to do the North Rim. We'd love to do part of Bright Angel. Like, we went
out this was our first trip.
On very first trip.
This is our last park.
Yeah.
First trip, last park.
We went out a bit on the Bright Angel Trail, and then we were like, okay. But we essentially did the South Rim Trail the entire time, which was mostly interpretive. And gave you a great view of the canyon the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're interested in flat exploration, there's a version of it that you could be on like a paved surface the whole time. Mm-hmm. You could also be like on the wilderness surface, like next door to that.
Yep.
So there's options.
Yes. There's trams that operate at the canyon. So we took two of them all the way out to Hermit's Rest, which is kind of the furthest point you can go, and then worked our way back towards Visitor Center. So that's how we did our basically 13 miles along that South Rim Trail. Especially now that we camp, I am excited to go back
and camp
and do Bright Angel so we can camp and
yes,
enjoy
agreed.
That. That is something, it's not a by any means a regret. I think this was like our novice times of like our park travel, and we sort of didn't really know what to expect. I think now we have a better practice in place for sort of like looking into things a little ahead of time, and also camp now, so that makes things that makes the difference. But definitely head back to the North Rim and also do Bright Angel for sure.
Now let's talk about Acadia.
Well,
I mean, we did a lot of trails in Acadia.
Yes.
This was our second time in Acadia.
Uh-huh.
And so the first one we talked about, well, the first one we did was on the Scudic Peninsula, which was the Buck Cove Trail and the Anvil Trail.
For the most part, those are the biggest ones. There were some side little babies that we did there too.
And that was, the most wonderful. Mm-hmm. I've told everybody, I'm like, when you go to Acadia, I know there is so much to do, but don't you dare skip the Scudic Peninsula.
Yeah, it was like David the Gnome's Forest.
Oh my God, the greatest. We also were able to return to the east side of Acadia.
We did, and we did, for the most part, we did a lot of trails here. We sort of like basically buttoned up everything we hadn't really done at this point. We did the Beehive again. This time we did it the right way.
We climbed up the Beehive instead of climbed down.
Mm-hmm, which is better. We did Champlain Mountain twice.
Yep.
We did the Beechcroft Trail, the Tarn, Eagle's Crag, the Quarry Trail, and we went down Ocean Walk again, which we had done before.
We did all of that in one day, but that is split into 3 episodes, right?
Yeah.
It's split into 3 episodes because that was like an 18...
2 episodes, I think. So we did 5 in Acadia.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So two episodes. Mm-hmm. So that was like an 18 mile day or something like that.
Something like that.
Totally doable. We started at 7 a.m.
Got done by like 2 or 3. Like, Yeah.
And then we went back and had pizza at the campground. It was great.
Yeah.
So
the things we remember.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the west side of Acadia, which was the first time we got to go over there. And we did both of these trails in the same day. This is also split into 2 episodes. We did
Bernard Mountain
west side of the, because it's sort of split into 2 sections with a pond in between.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a pond. It's called a pond.
Long pond.
Long pond. But
it's like a lake.
Huge.
Yeah.
So the west side of the west side, we did Bernard Mountain.
Yep. And then the east side of the west side, we did Beech Mountain.
There's
also something further east that we didn't get to, which was Acadia Mountain, which hilarious. We're like, we could do that at the end.
And then we were so tired.
Nope, the wall had come.
Yeah. If you really want to hear us cussing, then like definitely listen to that episode about Beech Mountain.
The
descent back down, because we went back away, and it was, we don't know how people do that trail.
How people go up it.
I don't know. No. Because we essentially had to slide down the whole way.
Essentially.
Yeah. What was your favorite hike in Acadia?
Oh. It's well, so this hard trip, to choose this trip, that. It's this probably trip. This trip, it's probably the Skudik Peninsula, because that was just different and magical and not something that I think either of us were expecting.
No.
That was sort of like a surprise, especially since we had done so much of Acadia on our first trip. So I thought, I was like, oh, I know what to expect. And I mean, it's going to be great.
Was perfect.
Yeah,
the weather was so
again,
perfect.
Conditional experiences. The weather was like foggy and beautiful. But yeah, Skudik Peninsula was really, really fantastic. I mean, the Beehive is always wonderful.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's cool. It's like that. I feel like I'm on an adult jungle gym sort of like hike. Do the Beehive early, though, because
it gets very crowded.
It's very busy.
Very fast.
I have to say 1000% Acadia might win, you know, along with the parks in Utah, Acadia might win best trail markings, like hands down.
So clear, especially because there are so many trails.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's and such they're a crisscross. Yeah. Of choose your own adventure. And we only misstepped once.
Yeah.
Only once.
Only one time. That Which, was when we hiked down Champlain Mountain after hiking up and going over it and then had to go back up it
back up.
Because we missed our turn.
It's fine.
It's totally fine. It added our steps for the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's what would we do if we went back?
I would want to do the Skudik Peninsula again. I would want to do Acadia Mountain. But there are things you can access all of these places that we just talked about from so many different ways.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of trails that we bypassed in order to do a different trail in order to get up to, say, you know, Champlain Mountain or whatever, or whichever place. But there are still some trails that I'm like, I'm curious about this. I'm curious about that. I think going back would be less of a like, okay, we're now doing this gigantic loop.
Yeah.
It would be more like, I just want to see what this connecting piece is like, and then what that connecting piece is like, and then this one, and then this one, you know?
I think I would want to do one of my favorite hikes from Acadia was the day we did Three Peaks, Two Mountains.
Oh, yeah.
I would do that again. Like, that was
great,
cool.
Great trail.
We were also, like, alone up there. It was quiet. It was so, that's like, hands down, I think, something that I will always remember.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was great. So, yeah, definitely those.
Let's talk about Catoctin Mountain.
Great.
Which is not one of the big 63 of the national parks, but is a...
NPS site.
NPS site.
One of the 423.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the thing that surrounds Camp David. Catoctin Mountain has east side trails and west side trails. Mm-hmm. The east side trails are a little more popular, and the west side trails are a little less popular and
a little more wilder.
Wild,
yeah.
So, and that's code for like the east side trails are probably a little wider, and the west side trails are
more overgrown, maybe.
Overgrown, and also not as like foot traffic's the thing that's going to keep them up.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, we did both sides, loved both sides.
Yeah, I did. Really enjoyed the east side a lot. I thought there were some challenges there. There was a lot of ascent that we had to do that was like we were hoofing and cussing.
But front-loading that.
Front-loading that.
But also the east side trails gave you views.
Oh, yeah.
There were so many views from the east side trail. Not necessarily. You didn't necessarily get views on the west side trail.
No.
But the west side trail is still, all of those are still wonderful. If you're like, I want to go into a beautiful solitary place, hike a loop that will just sort of be a beautiful time to spend in nature, then definitely don't miss the west side trails.
Yeah, and you also get some like shelters because the AT goes through there, right?
It's near there.
It's near there. So there are some shelters that like people can duck off for.
Right.
So yeah, Catoctin was great. Clear trail markings, blazes on trees. That is something that was great. A lot of the times if you were in a park that's in the west, trees aren't always prevalent. So those are cairns. This is blazes on trees, which are always very helpful. And I thought very well marked. What a hidden gem. Definitely go to Catoctin Mountain. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. Our final park of the season, Gettysburg.
Right. So Gettysburg was not as much of a hiking park. There are some trails. Many of them are horse trails.
Horse trails that you can walk on.
That you can walk on, yeah.
Which are great, which we did, which we enjoyed.
Yes. You could walk the whole driving tour, which is what we did. You could also bike it, which you is could. Something I
a
think
a lot of people were doing.
I would like to do and go back to do. Because Gettysburg, while there are hills, like if you're going up to Little Round Top, you're going to be pushing those pedals. It's pretty flat. Like,
yeah.
Doable. And I think it would be cool to see it via bike. There were so many monuments that we didn't stop and see along the driving tour or didn't get to see when we were walking. And that's something that is ever present at Gettysburg. Just like a ton of monuments.
Yeah.
You know, the driving tour I thought was great. It gave a good history of everything. I thought it really, you know, talked about the monuments, but also talked about the days of fighting and how that happened. So I thought very clear and easy to follow and understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
There are fire towers that you can climb up. We couldn't during the time we were there because it was still early pandemic, but that is a way to get some really awesome views of the park itself. But you can get a really great view from Little Round Top. That's you can drive up to. So there are places for you to be able to see some really fantastic views.
So top three trails of the season. Go.
Oh, top three trails of the season. Okay. Skudik Peninsula, Petroglyph Trail, Chola Cactus Garden.
Oh, mm-hmm. Great.
Because I think they gave, those are all very different. And they gave me so many different experiences. One was more interpretive and sort of just a stroll, the cactus garden. One was like enter into the magic of the forest. And the other was like, here's three or four different views, plus you get petroglyphs. Like, I yeah. thought that was great. And that gave me a lot to think on. What about you?
Also Skudik Peninsula. Mm-hmm. Also Petroglyph Trail. Mm-hmm. And then the Blue Mesa Trail.
I figured.
In Petrified Forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, unlike anything I'd ever yeah. seen. Cool. Absolutely. What would you say was physically the toughest trail? I'm asking among all of them, the most physically.
Physically challenging. Like, challenging. Where is the 10 of the Karen Stone of this season? Like, yeah. where does she
Which
reside?
I don't think we gave any of them a 10.
No,
but
if we had to, like, you know, pit them all against one another and say this was the toughest. Ooh, that's a great question. I am probably going to say, I want to say, like, that East Side Trail, Catoctin, like, the ascent on that.
Okay.
I think that was the White Trail.
Got it.
I feel like that felt like the most strenuous, either that or maybe like the Beach Mountain like return BS that we had to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I think it's the Beach Mountain return for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was tough. And yeah. I don't even want to imagine what it would be like going up.
No.
No part of me ever wishes no. to
screams.
Try it going up.
Internal scream.
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah. No. No. So let's end this summit episode with a queen in a game. A queen in a game.
It's who's the title of our memoir.
Who's the queen we're bringing to life today?
Thadies and gentlethems, please welcome to the stage Summer Holiday.
Okay, so I think she is a queen that leans into summer, meaning all of her looks are different looks you would have during the summertime. Like mm-hmm. maybe she has like a beach going look or maybe like mm-hmm. an evening out look, but mm-hmm. it's all summer inspired.
Okay.
And on top of it, it's all like the color palette of the sunset.
Oh, okay.
Like
I
she's
see.
Like got some really rich like light blues, but also some like pinks and oranges and yellows and like that kind of color palette.
I can drive with that. I do feel like the movies of the, I guess they're the 50s or the 60s, like the beach movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like
Beach Blanket Bingo.
Thank you.
Things like that.
I feel like a lot of
the
inspiration
Elvis
is drawn from like Doris Day and like her outfits in
Annette
those films.
Annette Funicello.
Yeah. Yep.
All of them.
Yeah. And I think she sings, why does the sun keep on shining? Why do the waves rush to shore?
What is
Don't
the name of that song?
They know it's the end of the world.
Oh my God. That is so creepy. Please don't ever like walk up to me and just start singing that in my ear because I will run away. I will run away.
I do feel like she can take that and take it into something fun.
I was going to say Cruel Summer.
Oh, by Bananarama? Yeah. Yeah, girl, let's go. I love that song. So she can take that and go into Cruel Summer.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my gosh.
And I think her merch is an eye color palette with all of her, with all the sunset colors.
Oh, sunset color. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
This leads us into an interesting conversation before we talk about the end of our queen here, is that Dusty and I are about to embark on, or by the time you've heard this episode, we will have embarked on a 5-week long road trip that's taking us to 9 national parks, 8 parks we have never been to, and returning us to Great Smoky Mountains.
And maybe a few national monuments,
yes,
too.
I think definitely a few national monuments. Yeah. So summer holiday is very inspirational for not only the end of the summit episode, but also the end of our season and the launch into what is our summer travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Thaddeus and gentle thems and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage,
Summer Holiday.
And now let's play a game. So this game is called Walk This Way. In this game, I'm going to be giving you a list of trails, and you have to name the national park that they're in.
Oh, okay.
They're not necessarily from this season. In fact, I don't think any of them are. Okay?
I'm ready.
So I'm going to list them off one at a time. We'll see how quickly you can get the park. Okay?
Okay.
Observation Point.
Oh my God, so many different parks.
Canyon Overlook.
Okay.
East Rim.
What is Grand Canyon?
Incorrect.
What is Black Canyon of the Gunnison?
Incorrect. Emerald Pools.
Oh, Zion.
That's correct.
There we go.
The last was Watchmen.
Great.
Great. For 200, Odessa Lake, Gem Lake, Alberta Falls.
Okay.
Estes Cone.
What is Rocky Mountain National Park?
Correct. Deer Mountain was the last one. Got I should it. Say these are all parks we have been to, so they're not national parks we haven't been to.
Okay, I see.
So, okay. For 300, Bluff Trail, Sims Trail.
Nope.
Weston Lake Loop.
Oh. Okay.
River Trail.
Shenandoah. New River Gorge. No.
Boardwalk Trail.
Acadia? No. Oh, Congaree.
That's right. All right. For 400. Golden Throne, Fremont River.
Oh, Capitol Reef.
That's right. Ooh, two. The others were Grand Washington, Hickman Ridge. I'm sorry, Hickman Bridge and Cohab.
Is it Grand Wash? Or Grand Washington. I thought it was Grand Wash.
Oh, I think it might be Grand Wash. Sorry.
Yeah.
Grand Washington, Hickman Ridge, and Cohab Canyon. Okay. And lastly, 500. Little Baldy.
Bryce Canyon.
No. Mist Falls.
Yosemite.
No. Monarch Lake.
Oh. Nope.
High Sierra Trail.
No.
Big Trees Trail.
Oh, Sequoia.
There you go.
There it is.
There it is. Walk This Way.
Look, and with that's season 3, everyone.
And that's season 3, everyone.
This has been the season 3 summit, and also, hey, that was season 3.
That's right.
By Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often. That adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on the show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written by Dave Seaman and performed by Dave Seaman, Mariella Klinger, and Sean Sklios. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge, while recording recording this episode that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Ocean County, New Jersey. Stay tuned for season 4, starting in the fall of 2021.